Cena, I'll always love you.
I'm driving in circles, should have bought that new phone. Can't find my way to all the places I call home. I'm on my own. I'm at the station pumping gas, yeah, I'm taking out the trash. I'm all alone. And who's there?
Welcome everyone to Xenoniverse Podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who've been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 152. This podcast show is for all the Xeno and Uber subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So hello and welcome back everyone to another XNU show. I hope everyone is doing well. We are excited and looking forward to everything that is going on in this week's show and a bunch of other things that are going on. So let's get into it right away. First and foremost, sent in to us by Vanessa is this week's song track of Even Angels by Fantasia. So thank you very much, Vanessa, for that, and I hope you are taking care of yourself. On with the rest of the show. Of course, you all know what that sound means by now, so I'm not even going to have to worry about introducing it. So, on the book recommendation for this week's show, we have Crush by Leah Santos over at Boltstruck Books. And, of course, I'll have a link on my show notes for you to read it. It is not expected to be released till August, so you might have to wait a little bit for it if you want to see this one. And the description goes like this. When Tierney Diaz grudgingly accompanies her best friend to Oregon's lush Willamette Valley wine country, all she wants is peace, quiet, and a coffee shop in which to work in solitude. She has her reasons for not being a drinker and not wanting to be around drinkers. And frankly, she's not looking for a woman, either. But she can't help but notice the captivating local woman, who sweeps into the cafe like a warm breeze after a rainstorm, bringing smiles to everyone's faces before, apparently, bustling down the street to teach a yoga class? Huh. If she has to crush on someone, at least it's not one of the wine mongers. Beck Montalvo has always had good instincts. The youngest of four daughters, born into Napa Wine Empire, she started her own business, Beckon, a small artsy winery focused on people, not the bottom line, and Breathe, the adjacent yoga studio where she connects to her community and herself. With Crush in full swing and the yoga studio thriving, Beck doesn't have time for romance or mysteries, but when she sees the beautiful stranger in the coffee shop, her instincts tell her the cautious-eyed woman is the perfect candidate for some mind-clearing yoga and a glass of Beck's best vintage, if she can break through her walls. The stranger's a tough case, but Beck never backed down from a challenge yet. So that is from Leah Santos, and it's the series of Viñedo Valley Romance, and it's called Crush. And in this week's movie recommendation, over at the Lesbian Movie Temptation, or One More Lesbian video, we have Slow Burn, and there will be a trailer here for you to look at it. And the description goes, Slow Burn, a mysterious girl with a past, wants a new future, and, as a symbol of this, decides to get her first tattoo. She meets two tattoo artists who are immediately smitten with her, and in one time-honored tradition of the Western, they have a showdown in a winterscape for the right to pop the tattoo cherry of the girl. Starring Baby Templeton, Kat Letwin, Kat Olivier, and Renita Filtari. So that's Slow Burn, and I'll have a link on my show notes so you two can see it on the One More Lesbian website.
Initializing process. Oh, crap.
Well, on the World Wide Web this week, we've gone over to the official Lucy Lawless website, and as much of you should know that it was Lucy's birthday on the 4th. And she puts out a note on her blog that says, thank you everyone for your kindness and best wishes on my birthday. I never truly understood that the online auction was a birthday present to me. I was extremely blown away when I first got it for the first time. I was quite mute. Thank you all, especially Mary D, who organized it. The Starship people are going to be shocked and delighted. I know they will buy some incredible piece of equipment that will help heal a child or ease suffering. You are very generous, and I send warm blessings on you all from afar. I just took a few minutes out to pray in your direction. I had a lovely, lovely birthday. When work was unexpectedly postponed, I caught up with Madeline, Sammy, and Lady Hawk for brunch at Alleluia Cafe on K Road, and then went out to play tennis very badly with pals in Mount Eden. The rest of the day was spent with my family. My sister made the most gorgeous lemon cake I have ever seen, and which we devoured over 2 days. Thanks, Joss. Now I have to get back to work on Sparty. My internet has been down, so I've been trying to do research on my little iPhone. Not very good. I am so excited by the new direction for my character. Bizarre stuff. Michael Hurst and I are psyched about what we're about to do. Wish I could say what, but it would ruin the surprise. Up and at 'em, Lucy. So that's what's going on over there on Renee O'Connor's website, which I hope everyone has signed up. Remember that it is free now. Not much really going on over there. She still has her information regarding the video channel and her bedside tables and her talking with. So you can check that out, where you can get different interviews, videos, commentaries with Trey Stokes on some of the movies that they've done together. So go check it on out on ReneeO'Connor.net and sign up if you're not a member. But remember that it is free now, so you don't have to worry about paying for it.
You snapped, haven't you?
And this week we have a joke, and it's from about an insurance company. On the form feed, insurance form question and answer about a recent accident. Question: could either driver have done anything to avoid the accident? Answer: I could have traveled by bus. A man collided with a cow and completed the requested forms as follows. Question: what warning did you give the other party before the collision? Answer: horn. Question: what warning was given by the other party? Answer: moo.
Well, if that is the worst thing that happens today, I'll be thrilled.
Okay, I know that one was bad, so cut me a break here, people, all right? Okay, in this week's updates on latest and greatest what's been happening, I finished tiling the project I was doing, the day room that I did, so I no longer have kneecaps, so that's a good thing. I've now shrunk down to a total of all of maybe 3.5 feet tall. And I look forward to diminishing that greatly next weekend when I turn around and have to grout the whole thing. But slowly and surely, by the time I finish this, I should be about the size of a head. Just put me on the counter and don't worry about it. And in any other news, everything is going pretty good. We are turning the time here. We've gone back in time. So that's a good thing. We got an extra hour's sleep. And we're so looking forward to the cooler August weather now. And, well, August I say, but it's actually not August if you think about it, because we get fall here in April, May. So, anyway, you figure that one out on your own. We're going to get right into the show. Thank you to certain people who have emailed me saying, yeah, they like the story. No, they don't like the story. One listener who turned around and said, please have more stories with sex. More sex. Definitely more sex. So I am trying to accommodate that. I am looking for stories like that. But please be advised that those usually Xena sex stories don't exist. And so you're going to have to throw me a bone here and give me some stories you want me to read online, and I'll do it. Just send me the story name. Give me the author's email, and I'll do it. Not a problem. So let's finish off with J.L. Nicky's Deepest Ocean Green, which we're into part 5 and going on into part 6. So on with the show.
Come and get some.
Deepest Ocean Green by J.L. Nicky. Hours later, glancing at a watch, Chris noted the time and mentally checked off the completed schedule of events listed for today. The Christmas Eve spectacular on Deck 2, held mainly for the kids, had wrapped up 2 hours ago. The Santa and Elf volunteers were plentiful, and she hadn't received any complaints. By now, 4 days into the cruise, the parents were beginning to realize that the boat had many adult offerings, too. The use of the babysitting service had skyrocketed. Chris had previously encountered this from other voyages and already implemented a full-time nursery center. With a maximum capacity of 40 kids at one time, she had yet to hear of any complaints there, either. The people aboard seemed to be overly gratuitous and very forgiving during the holiday cruises. The ship's personnel seemed to be in high spirits at the moment. Enjoying the star-filled sky, Chris walked out the top deck, eyeing the cabinets and placement of stowed equipment containers. She rarely had vandalism occur in the first-class level. However, it wasn't completely unheard of. Deck 2 and 3 had already reported some life vests and a designer set of oars that had been stolen out of the storage bins. They had mostly likely become souvenirs, stolen for the cruise line logo, which was stitched onto the surface. She frowned at the loss of the survival gear. Her purser glared ominously each time a theft was reported to him in the financial meeting. He would probably have a stroke when the final tally was made, reporting the many towels and bathroom dispensers that had been taken after the people disembarked. Chris made her way past the etched glass, brass-handled double-entry doorway of the High Rollers Casino, and blinked at the clouds of smoke escaping by seeping through the crack at the bottom of the doors. She grimaced at the sight and steered a wide path around it as she continued further down the walkway. The undertones of the music playing with caused a low vibration. She heard it fading as she moved along. Heading toward the nearby cabin of vests, she stopped near a flagpole and a boat container. Her view was blocked, but she froze as she heard the voices coming closer. "Don't worry, honey. She's having a blast. Right now, she's probably snuggling down in her sleeping bag and falling fast asleep from exhaustion," a woman calmly stated. "I'm not worried about her. I just..." another woman's voice pleaded, and then a brief chuckle. "Okay, so maybe. I worry too much." Chris heard them moving down the ramp past her. She turned and watched as Brooke and Georgia, walking arm in arm, paused to hug each other. The hug became a sweet kiss as Brooke leaned down to Georgia. What it became from there was something so much deeper. The two women melted together. Chris watched them through the moonlight as they deepened their connection. Her eyes followed the soft hands that began to touch bare skin. She heard the tantalizing sounds of softly spoken, sweet nothings as the two lovers shared each other. Chris, standing in the shadows, felt embarrassed to be witnessing the moment as an interloper, but she couldn't ignore the feeling of arousal that fluttered wildly in her stomach. As she watched, she was mesmerized and unable to look away. A soft moan floated in the air, and Chris shivered in reaction. She briefly closed her eyes, breathing deeply in response. When she opened them, Brooke and Georgia were moving down the walkway. Brooke had her arm wrapped around Georgia firmly. Chris stood in the shadows for quite a few moments, trying to control the warmth of the heat she felt in her face. She brushed her arm over her breast and tingled with the feeling as she realized that her nipples were hard. She felt her heart beating fast and took deep breaths to calm down. Moving from the concealed corner, she leaned against the railing of the ship and let the colder ocean air cleanse her thoroughly. Eventually, she moved back down the walk and headed toward the swimming pool to make her way to her cabin. Dean woke up around 9 at night, her body curiously lethargic and feeling weighted. She decided that the early idea of swimming some laps had been a good one. She found a one-piece swimsuit. After donning that, some shorts and a t-shirt that said, "If the boat's a-rockin'," she grabbed the towel and headed for the pool. Dean was surprised at finding the empty pool until she remembered that the Christmas Eve festivities were occurring down below. She grinned like a child as she stripped off her t-shirt and shorts. The underwater floodlights in the pool made the water crystal clear as she entered it. She watched as her feet and legs were slowly submerged until she could put it off no longer. Gritting her teeth, she pushed away from the wall. The growl she made was one of acceptance for the colder water. Albeit, while she was still somewhat chilled by the ocean air, the pool was heated and her body acclimated quickly. She made her way down to one end and looked down the length of the pool at the other, which is 25 meters away. Snapping her water goggles down over her eyes, she pushed a 6-foot frame off the wall and began the first of many laps. 30 minutes later, Chris rounded the corner of the walkway, moved out into the pool area. The lone swimmer, doing laps, caught her attention for the movement as she surveyed the almost empty area. Moving closer to the pool, she straightened some chairs at a table. Something looked familiar about the swimmer, a niggling recognition that stayed just out of reach as the swimmer flipped at one end of the pool and swam underwater back towards the other end. Within seconds, she was back on the surface and cleaning, cutting through the water. Chris found herself watching the professional swimming performance with envy. Broad shoulders and strong arms pulled the body through the water smoothly, while powerful legs kicked strongly from behind. The swimmer slowed and finally stopped near the end of the pool, where Chris stood. Dean rose up out of the 5 feet of water. She just didn't hear the gasp of surprise that Chris released when she realized just who it was. Still breathing deeply, Dean took off the goggles and wiped her hand over her dripping face. Chris took that opportunity to glance downward and immediately noticed the pointed nipples, which stood out conspicuously against the tight fabric of the wetsuit. Dean looked up and found Chris standing there and grinned crookedly.
"Hey there, lady,"
Dean said while trying to catch her breath. Chris's eyes rose instantly. She tried to avoid looking at the defining cut of the swimsuit as it pushed Dean's breast upward, showing ample cleavage. Chris replied with a wavering smile as she tried to calm her wandering thoughts. Her body went on immediate alert when Dean simply lifted herself out of the pool in one quick movement.
"Hi yourself," Chris said as she watched the practically naked woman walk towards her.
The long, muscular legs flexed as the glow from the pool lights reflected on the droplets of water that ran down her skin. Chris tore her eyes away from the fit body and looked over at the pool. She felt a flush of heat envelop her. At the last minute, Dean stopped before a chair, which held her towel and clothing. Chris hadn't noticed it there. Dean wrapped the towel around her waist and donned the t-shirt over her wet skin. She didn't want the cool night air making her shiver.
"Are you okay?"
Dean asked, stepping closer to Chris as she tried to make eye contact with her. Chris looked up at the taller woman, while trying to relax as much as possible and not let Dean notice that she was being ogled.
"I was just admiring your swimming. You're very good at it,"
Chris commented as she fidgeted by pushing the nearby chair under the table to cover her obvious nervousness. Dean smiled again and nodded.
"Thank you. It had a lot to do with the Navy, but I am comfortable in the water."
Chris nodded and looked down at her watch.
"I'm officially off shift. Tomorrow's Key West, and I was going to take in some island time during my off hours. Would you care to join me?"
Chris asked, holding her breath until she heard the response.
"Actually, it's 4 hours until we dock, and then I'm free. Give or take a few hours of official protocol, checking some engineering logs. I would love to go with you. Shall we meet around 10 a.m?
Dean gestured for Chris to move ahead of her, with a bow and a leading arm to guide along the way as they both began to walk towards their cabins.
"That would be perfect. We can get breakfast and then head over on one of the island boats."
Dean nodded and agreed. She reached over and ran a hand down Chris's uniform-covered arm. The touch stopped her in her tracks.
"I like the way you look too, First Officer Parker."
"Very much so."
Dean's voice was lower in timbre as she ran her thumb over the elbow of Chris's shirt and then let go. Chris trembled slightly as she waited for Dean to make the next move. Dean just motioned her forward toward the cabin hallway. The pair stopped outside Chris's door, and Dean hesitated for a moment. She wanted to wrap Chris up in her arms and kiss her. Chris made the decision for them as she unlocked a door and tugged on the towel wrapped around Dean, pulling her into the room. She shut the door behind the smiling Dean and leaned back against it. Biting a lip, she studied the taller woman with a curiosity and longing in her eyes.
"Please, kiss me again, Dean,"
Chris asked as she watched Dean's blue eyes turn darker. The sensations of excitement rose in her as Dean moved closer and gently touched her face.
"Thank you for allowing me the sweetest pleasure."
Dean leaned down and pressed her warm lips to Chris's forehead. Then she moved her lips to caress the corner of Chris's eye. The soft touch continued as Dean brushed her lips across the cheekbone until Chris turned and tilted her chin upward to seal the lips together. They both parted their lips as the kiss deepened. Dean felt teeth catch her lip and a bite, followed by a soft wet tongue to lave the pain away. She moaned as she reached out to taste Chris. Their tongues wrapped around each other,
as they tasted each other thoroughly. Without thought, Chris reached up and ran a palm over the hard nipple poking through the wet material Dean wore. Dean trembled in response. A sense of wonder passed through Chris when she felt Dean's reaction to her touch. She suddenly felt a power over the woman and was amazed at the feeling. Dean broke off the kiss and pulled away from Chris, drawing in air into her lungs. She could barely contain her need as she realized that the only thing stopping her from being naked was a swimsuit and some damp skin. Her blood boiled with the heat of her thoughts.
We need to stop this, Chris. Before we can't stop it.
Dean glanced over at the heavily lidded, green eyes watching her. They stood staring at each other, while trying to let their excited bodies calm down a bit. Finally, Chris dropped her gaze and reached back behind her, feeling around for the doorknob. She opened the door slowly and held it partially open for Dean to leave. Dean crossed to the door and gently pressed it closed once more. She pressed her body into Chris's. She leaned down and gently kissed her way down the side of the blonde's neck. She tasted her way down to her collarbone and let her hands roam upward to cup the perp breasts that were hiding under the blazer Chris was wearing. Chris trembled at the kisses. She felt the flames of pleasure building inside her and relished the electrifying sensations Dean provided. She had never felt this way before. Her skin was on fire. A gasp escaped her throat as fingers roamed over her, touching the soft skin beneath the now open button of her blouse. She arched into the larger woman's body. Dean growled. She felt Chris slide her fingers into the short hair at the nape of her neck. She shivered in response as fingernails playfully scratched the back of her neck. Her mind slipped deeper under the spell of blissful pleasure. Chris's blouse was almost completely opened when someone knocked on the outer door. Both women froze and stopped breathing. They stared at each other silently as the knock came twice more. Chris shook her head slowly, left and then right, silently informing Dean that she was not going to answer. Dean drew a deep breath and held her tightly as they trembled together and listened to the retreating footsteps. Dean slowly released her and stepped back from the door, breaking the connection between their bodies. Chris felt so weak. She grasped the door handle to stay upright. They recovered in silence as minutes went by.
I can't seem to stay away from you.
Dean ran her fingers through her hair, straightening the mussed appearance it had. She wondered that she was moving too fast with everything. She wanted to romance her soon-to-be lover, but the idea of Chris feeling threatened or intimidated by Dean caused her stomach to clench in disgust. She knew that Chris was attracted to her, and they were both highly aroused, but she didn't want to cause future problems for them by rushing. Chris bit her lip, nodding in agreement. The seductive remark had left her blushing as it hit home, and she wanted nothing more than to continue to kiss those soft lips. Though she did feel slightly apprehensive about the final outcome of their encounter, Chris had always picked someone that she knew would be safe. Having a history of going on only a few dates in the past, the encounters amounted to nothing more than getting to first base. She and her dates had kissed, but nothing more. He felt her naivety shining through in her innocence. Although she trusted Dean to be the experienced one and guide them both, she knew that together they caused a spark to become a roaring flame. Too many vivid images of the two of them in various states of making love flashed before Chris's mind, and she shivered with renewed desire.
Forget how safe Dean might be.
She drew in a deep breath just thinking about it. Chris struggled with her growing desires towards the tall captain. Her thoughts circled around to focus on how she could please Dean.
Could I satisfy her? What am I supposed to do to make that happen? Does the ship's library carry any books of instruction?
Chris dropped her eyes to the floor to hide the foolish humor her inner thoughts had taken.
What are you thinking about, sweetheart?
You're blushing.
Chris looked up to meet those dazzling blue eyes and felt her insides melt once again. Dean met the sparkling green gaze and knew that her heart was taken. She almost walked back over and took Chris in her arms. She stopped herself from taking up where they had left off.
Are you okay? I don't want to rush anything. I think I should leave.
Dean reached out and ran her fingers down Chris's cheek, giving her a tender caress. Chris leaned into the touch and nodded her agreement. They parted with promise to meet for breakfast and go ashore for a few hours the next day. While searching for the elusive Fountain of Youth, Ponce de Leon chronicled the rock-filled islands of Key West in 1513. Originally, the Calusa Indian tribe inhabited the Cayo, Key, Hueso for West, but successive years of plundering pirates managed to define it as an island of bones, a place where shipwrecks occurred. The tiny 3-by-5-mile-long island, being the last on a chain of the Floridian Keys, now completes the southern route of U.S. Interstate 1. This interstate extends southwest of Miami, Florida, to bridge across the island from Key Largo, Isla Moralda, Marathon, and the Lower Keys into the last of the bustling tourist area in Key West. A tropical paradise full of delicious island flavor has become a must-stop vacation spot for the island-seeking tourist. The ship arrived around 4 a.m. and anchored in the natural harbor made by the far west outcropping of Wisteria Island and the northwest Fleming Key Peninsula. By 6, the first tour boat was taking off loaded with tourists heading for Mallory Square, the famous Key West Sunset Celebration Pier, just one of the many attractions to explore. Mallory Square begins its daily sunrise routine by providing exhibits of art, crafts, street performers, food carts, psychics, and more to the thousands of tourists visiting from around the world. Then each night before sunset, masses of people, both local and tourists alike, flock to the water's edge to watch the sun sink into the Gulf of Mexico. The ship was scheduled to stay anchored for 15 hours before resuming its course. The tourist hotspot could be covered many times over in that window of opportunity. The majority of the tourists planned for two main attractions, beach time or scuba diving. In any direction, Key West is a beach. Superb dining was offered, as well as established restaurants such as Turtle Crawls, Key West Beach House, the Half Shell Raw Bar, and Grill. Beach entertainment including sports activities like jet skiing, wave runner rentals, parasailing, or surfing, along with the ever-present, less expensive sport of swimming or playing in the soft sands. Offshore was a true element of the island chain, where complete ecological wonders resided as part of the many coral reefs of Florida. In Key West, the ability to scuba dive was considered as normal as owning a cell phone in California. The 5 miles of coral reef, made of tall heads of brain coral, star coral, and pillar coral, along with many other structural coral mounds intertwined with vast plateaus. The plateaus are covered with hard and soft corals and sponges, a snorkeling and diving delight. A mile further out from the main reef line is the outer reef area. The waterlife here is second to none in the U.S. Parrotfish, angelfish, butterflyfish, and other bright tropical fish are very common in the front reef, as well as stingrays, eels, nurse sharks, and turtles in the outer, deeper waters. Deep water gorgonians and grouper, resident jewfish, and large green moray eels have home in some of the shipwrecks sunk off the reef, along with plenty of yellowtail, grunt, rossi, and barracuda, living in the ocean depths. The two women walked along the downward path towards the beach. Dean blindly followed her companion, who led the way, as she watched a lone surfer riding the crest of an incoming curl in the distance. The sand felt wet and cool on their bare feet as they walked the beach. "I love this side of the island. It seemed so wild and restless." Chris pointed to the crashing waves, hitting the coral reefs off the coast. She pointed in a few different directions out in the distant waters and indicated the reef names and locations. 9-foot snake, Worsted Sambo, Pelican Shoal. Her hand came to the shade her eyes from the glare of the sun dancing on the water's surface. The sunglasses she wore helped only slightly. Both of them squinted as they watched the pelicans floating in the place over a nearby dock filled with fishermen. Dean thrust her hands into her khaki shorts and wiggled her toes in the sand. The wind ruffled through her short hair, tickling her scalp with its freshness. She felt a growing relief from the pressure of her day-to-day existence. Although she usually thought of the captain's position as a well-earned privilege, she knew the job was demanding as any other career would be. For a few moments, while they stood looking out of the ocean's tide, she felt humbled by the seemingly endless, rolling tide of blues and greens. She was awed by the powerful surge of continuous waves that rushed up and down the sandy beach. Her little piece of heaven was largely amplified as Chris shyly linked their arms together. They grinned at each other and continued down the beach. After sharing fantastic brunch from one of Mallory Square restaurants, they walked around the piers, sightseeing for a while. The southern beach that they now explored was just past the public hotel area, and was much less populated than the lounge-filled sandcastle building, tanning tourism mess that they had passed by earlier. The cool winds of the last month of the year were a steady reminder that they were encountering the winter here in the tropical center. yet the sun still shone down and sought out the oiled-up skin of the nearest tan-seeking exposed body.
Let's rest under those palm trees over there.
Dean pointed to a small group of trees nearby. Chris nodded and they made their way across the bright sand to reach the shaded base of some native palms. Dean sat down with her back to the base of the tree and spread her legs, patting the sand in front of her. She waggled her eyebrows up at Chris and waited for Chris to sit down. Chris blushed slightly and then smiled. She sat down, keeping her back adjacent to Dean's front, and scooted in between her legs. She was immediately wrapped in strong arms and leaned back into the warmth of Dean's body, sighing contentedly. Dean exhaled happily, too. Dean held a sense of perfection as their bodies formed together effortlessly. Soft blonde hair pillowed Chris's head, resting in the curve of Dean's neck. She had comfortably rested her arms along the length of strong thighs surrounding her. The muscles flexed against her as she softly trailed her fingertips over bare skin at the edge of the shorts. Dean inhaled Chris's natural body fragrance of floral-scented shampoo and soap as she sat enjoying the full contact they shared. They both watched the ocean moving before them, while their bond to each other strengthened as the waves crashed onto the beach. They began to talk about their lives, the events of the past, and memories of happy moments that they experienced. Dean began to speak of her family, her childhood, and her love of the ocean. She told Chris of her ultimate desire, to be able to sail the seas at her leisure. She spoke of a boat she had bought just recently, and how she was going to explore the world from its bow. The whole story had Chris envisioning the tall captain steering her vessel off into the sunset. Dean's story ended, and silence reigned for a while, until Chris began to speak of her varied experiences in her career. She slowly began to talk about her past and her family, as Dean listened carefully. The arms holding her tightened with emotion as she stumbled through explaining her teen years. Her voice, at times, lowered to a mere whisper, full of pain as she spoke about the life-altering events she had endured. Dean held her close, ignoring the tears that were falling down her own cheeks. She murmured words of encouragement to Chris, trying to help her continue. Chris explained how after the breakdown, she had eventually run away to go live with her Aunt Janice in Fort Lauderdale. The helpful aunt had convinced Chris to see a professional therapist. Over the next 3 years, the female therapist had helped Chris rebuild her strength and find her center to handle flashes of insecurity that she still had. She told Dean about her beginning years on the cruise line and her growing happiness as part of the Tanner Industries. Eventually, they both fell silent and reveled in the closeness of just being together. Dean wanted to stay that way forever. What would happen when Chris accepted the captain position? How could we be together? Dean frowned at her inner thoughts and closed her eyes, drawing in a deep breath of fresh air and Chris's scent. We will just have to work something out. Chris leaned into the strong body behind her and practically purred her satisfaction. The only thing holding her back from looking at her future was the overwhelming fear of losing the connection with the woman she was quickly falling in love with. She needed to sit down and think about her future. But what future would she have if Dean were not in it? She wanted her cake, and ice cream suited Sailor too. The time arrived when they realized that returning to the ship was necessary. Standing to stretch and give each other a comforting hug before they returned, Dean paused, resting brow to brow with Chris. She looked into those gorgeous green eyes, aware of the trust that was being given. She wondered how anyone could be compelled to break such a gift. Chris looked up into twin pools of blue and found strength emanating from their depths. She felt herself drowning, reaching into them for safety and saw understanding looking back. Dean radiated her love outward, forcing Chris to hold her breath from the intensity of his heat. Thank you for sharing all of this with me, Chris. Dean pressed a gentle kiss to Chris's forehead. Chris closed her eyes and swallowed a lump of gratitude at Dean's acceptance of her. The distant chimes of her church rang out in celebration of the holiday season. Dean squeezed her tightly for a moment, reassuring her, and then stepped back. They began to trek back to the ship and boarded the tour boat along with many others. The evening sky was beginning to fall into sunset. The tour boat returned to the ship's boarding area, and they made their way back to their respective cabins. Dean paused at Chris's door. I enjoyed spending time with you. Thank you, Chris. Chris flushed with pleasure and smiled back. I also wanted to say Merry Christmas. Dean shyly retrieved the small, square Christmas-wrapped package from her pocket. She held it out to the surprised first officer, gesturing for Chris to take it. Chris flushed with pleasure and grinned.
You didn't have to do that.
Chris opened the wrapping and found the small sailboat symbol on the cover. She glanced up at Dean and looked for a hint. Dean smiled as she quirked a challenging eyebrow. "Open it," she urged. Chris lifted the top of the cover from the box and stood bemused as she stared at what looked like a stainless steel pocket watch resting in the velvet lining of the box. She removed it from its container and examined the delicate design. A raised sailboat insignia and a small button to release the fob lid were the main features of the highly polished steel item. As she pressed the button to release the lid, she gasped in pleasure. A detailed, intricate faceplate of a compass was displayed beneath the spring-action lid. The small engraving caught her eye. She felt tears gather as she read the sweet words etched into the steel. "Captain Chris Parker, may the destination of your life's voyage always be easily found. With love, Dean." Chris reached over and rested her hand against the warmth that Dean provided. She drew a breath and looked up into the sparkling eyes looking down at her.
"You two have a way with words, Captain Tanner. Thank you."
She stated, profoundly grateful Dean had understood the importance of her promotional circumstances. Now she felt an excitement towards her promotion, knowing that Dean was behind her in the decision of accepting David's offer of training. Chris reverently ran a thumb over the closed lid of the compass. No matter what else happened with the offer, she knew Dean was behind her 100%. She felt a burden lift from her, allowing her the freedom to give Dean a radiant smile. Dean blinked at the stunning beauty.
"I have something for you, too."
Chris hesitated as she bent down to get something inside of one of the bags, which she had collected from Mallory Square before returning to the ship. She pulled out a bulky square box, gift wrapped for the holidays, with Santa wrapping. A small card was attached, dangling off wrapping by a string. Dean had both eyebrows raised into her hairline in surprise. She was handed a slightly heavy box and told to open it. Chris giggled at Dean's expression. Unwrapping the paper, she discovered the plain brown box. As she opened it, she found the shining bronze ship bell about 8 inches in height. The image of a ship's wheel was cast into the side. It was mounted onto a wooden brace and was engraved with a phrase, "Set your course by the stars." The card had a short message from Chris. "To reach the port of heaven, we must sail, sometimes with the wind and sometimes against it. But we must sail. May your voyage include a sunset. Love, Chris." Dean rang the bell softly in awe. It was a sweet gift and she loved it. She leaned down and kissed Chris softly. "Thank you, sweetheart." Chris smiled, her eyes twinkling with great pleasure. Chris bent down and picked up a stray piece of paper that had fallen. She shoved it into the box and bag and turned to release the latch on the door. She hesitated for a moment, looking at Dean.
"Would you like to come inside for a while?"
Dean smiled and moved slightly closer to Chris.
"What have you got on your mind?"
Her seductive tones made Chris blush. She looked down at her feet, then back up shyly.
"I have a lot on my mind, and it's all about you."
Dean stared at the green-eyed siren that she stood near. She drew in a deep breath of desire.
"I think I will have to decline for the evening."
Dean's voice was full of regret.
"I have a new shift in less than 6 hours, and..."
She paused to look into Chris's eyes.
"I don't want to have anything interrupt us when we do finally make love."
Dean watched his green eyes dilated, and Chris's breathing became shallow at her whispered words. She reached up and ran her finger down the soft cheek. Chris shivered and moved into her room. Dean stepped back and grinned at her with that lopsided smile.
"I'll see you soon."
Chris nodded at the parting words. Dean stripped off her shorts and polo shirt, tossing them into a nearby laundry bag. She quickly showered and wearily crawled into her bed, naked. Her body felt drained from the mental battle she had waged. In her mind, she wanted to strangle something outright. While listening to Chris, she had tried to keep a steady look of concern on her face. The heartbreakingly labored, stuttering confession that had been revealed to Dean was just soul-wrenching to listen to. Letting her anger show about the situation that Chris had dealt with wouldn't have helped anyone, least of all Chris. So she offered all the support she could and resolutely stuffed her feelings into the recesses of her memory. Dean clenched her empty hands into fists. Her inner fires were still raging so high that she couldn't extinguish them. She closed her eyes and recalled the familiar warmth of that small body leaning into her, the bare skin of their arms and legs touched as they entwined on the sand. Dean groaned at the flash of the fantasy involving Chris, herself, and the love scene in the movie From Here to Eternity. She closed her eyes, feeling her rising need. She still longed to touch her,
hold her, and more. Dean reflected as she rubbed her hand back and forth over her stomach. She grimaced at the thought of masturbating to quiet the longing. She was almost content, feeling the sharp edge of desire waiting in the background. Since the moment they had shared a kiss, she felt an unrelenting ache smoldering inside her. Her body trembled at the thought of that night in the park. She'd come so close to losing complete control. Dean grabbed a pillow from the empty side of the bed and smashed it over her head, trying to drown out her sensual thoughts. Eventually, her breathing deepened as her body wound down, falling asleep. Her limbs relaxed further into the pillow, slid down as Dean drifted into a dream. They were in a park, stopping under a beautifully arching oak tree, standing on the precipice, close together in the quiet warmth and solitude. Dean studied Chris, who was staring intently at the swirling waters below, just beyond the edge of the cliffside. The breeze wafting up into the ocean lifted Chris's beautiful golden hair, making it appear angelic as it flowed over her shoulders. Dean stood, transfixed at the ethereal display, jealously watching the moonlight as it touched her, the dress clinging greedily to the curves of her body as the wind pushed it. She felt a rising hunger deep within her soul, a wistful longing and a call that could only be answered by one other person, the other half of her. A mist fell over the area, obscuring her, preventing her from viewing for what she wanted. She whimpered in her sleep, her hand reached outward. Dean's brow creased as she continued to dream. She stepped toward the cloud to chase her vision, when an otherworldly being began drifting towards her in the fog. She stopped in confusion. It had no solid form, but it was approaching her. "Chris?" she called out, becoming alarmed. "Hello? Are you there?" It floated serenely, meandering its way along and coming closer. "Chris, where are you?" She didn't know how to respond to the manifestation and stared at it blankly, all her senses on alert. "Do I know you?" Dean timidly queried of the specter as she looked around into the seeming endless haze. "What are you?" she cried out in surprise, jumping when the thing brushed up against her, stroking her backside, its touch gentle and feminine, divinely painting its caress along her shoulders and down her arms. Something that she could not see continued winding itself around her, like a cat wrapping itself around her feet and legs, enveloping her by circling into a winding, smoky path of figure eights, its supreme warmth encompassing her like a blanket, stilling her fears. A face rose in the mist, Chris's face that was suddenly before her, glowing in its celestial perfection. She was in awe of the apparition, afraid to reach out, lest it should disappear.
"I know you,"
Chris whispered, engulfing Dean in an embrace before fading from sight. Dean looked into the blackness, seeking out what had just been just out of reach, yearning for it. When the moonlight in the cliffside, with Chris standing near her, come back into view, she rejoiced as she looked upon her. Chris must have felt the pull of Dean's gaze. She slowly turned to look upward. The darkness of the night couldn't hide the blue eyes staring hungrily down at her. Dean begged Chris silently to say something, do something, or just give her a sign. Then the delicate hands were reaching out, basking in the feel of Dean's silk top as Chris slid her fingers across the material. Dean trembled, delighting in the soft touch. She couldn't remember when she had wanted anything so badly before this moment in time. She leaned down and their lips touched, parting and then slowly devouring each other in blissful rapture. Dean released a low growl as Chris's tongue ran across the length of her mouth, teasingly. Kissing Chris was without a doubt something Dean needed to do over and over again. The taste and heat, the scent and textures roused Dean, sending her closer to the edge of being out of control. Dean bit gently, trapping the invading tongue that was causing her heart to explode in her chest. Chris stood trembling in her arms and sighed softly, the erotic visions racing through Dean's head inflaming her passion, causing it to soar. She released the captured muscle, only to soothe over the silky surface of Chris's tongue with her own. They both hummed in total pleasure at the sensuality of the action. Dean pulled Chris's body towards her, deepening the kiss. She felt them bind together as only lovers can. The petite hand ran up and down her silk shirt as they molded together. Aware that Chris was unfamiliar in the territory of women with other women, Dean moved her hands lower, lightly stroking the softness of Chris's hips and behind. A full caress of Chris's backside, cupped in her hands, was delicious. A jolt of arousal struck them both as Chris released a deeper moan, Dean turned them slightly and pressed Chris solidly against a tree trunk. A gasp was torn from Chris's throat as Dean spread her attention from the ruby lips, bruised from the flaming embrace of their passions, to begin kissing down the side of her neck. The heated rush of pleasure that Dean felt running through her blood caused her to tremble. She needed to slow down, but she had just begun. Dean's lips and tongue swirled soft, hot patterns over the petite collarbone and exposed shoulder. Filled with longing, Dean lifted the small strap, holding one shoulder of the dress in place. The creamy swells of her pale, heaving breast, guarded by the sheerest of gauze material, was wickedly enticing Dean onward. She hesitated, lifting her head and locking ardor-filled eyes with Chris's. Dean viewed the hooded gaze that was contemplating her with desire, as if she were on the menu.
"We shouldn't do this here. We can't just..."
Chris panted, even as she thrust her breasts upward towards Dean's mouth. Dean licked her dry, overheated lips in anticipation. She blinked at the green orbs that gave her permission, even though Chris gave a verbal claim that differed. Dean looked at the fierce grip that Chris had on the silk of her shirt, and then back up at the flushed features. Chris was waiting for Dean to deliver. The soft skin of a nearby breast was so tempting that Dean practically whimpered as she pulled her closer still.
"Blame me. I can't stop this right now,"
Dean murmured as she leaned down to taste off the delicious flesh being offered. Her fingers swept the small strap to the side, and the free material began to slide, moving downward and uncovering the most beautiful sight. Her tongue helped sweep the remaining edge of the material downward, and she sought the hardened nub of that tip. Her homage to its peak was gentle. She drew the nipple inward as her tongue bathed its surface. Such incredible softness now hardened with desire. Dean felt her own wetness pooling as Chris took hold of her short, dark hair in a vice-like grip, silently commanding Dean to continue. Servicing the pale breast with her mouth, tongue, and teeth, Dean made Chris cry out, gasping in her excitement. Brushing her thumb across the other nipple, still slightly covered by the dress, Dean was forced to keep her partner from collapsing. Chris's eyes rolled back in her head as she reveled in the new sensations. Her body pressed against the trunk of the tree, held up by Dean's arms. She moved into the caresses, arching in pleasure. Dean switched breasts, feeling the clasp on her hair tighten. The light flicker of her tongue continued to cause a growing tension in her partner. Dean could feel the taut body that she held becoming more and more demanding. She teased mercilessly, raising both their temperatures higher. Suddenly Chris began begging. She started telling Dean to touch her. Her voice was raspy, heavy laden with her arousal. She spoke into the night air, moaning heated words of desire. Dean growled in pleasure.
"Oh, God! Dean! Please! Harder! That feels so good! Right there! Yes!"
Dean needed and sought out more of Chris. In her conquest, the light flicking became a sucking motion that drew forth more words of praise and excitement. Dean let a warm hand inch the dress edge upward, intoxicated by the softness of the skin beneath it. The lightest of touches through the silken panties at her heated apex caused Chris to thrust her hips forward. Dean held her upright as Chris panted into the night air. Dean rubbed with a finger against the hardened bundled nerves at her center, flicking her tongue faster over the sensitive nipple as she brought Chris to orgasm. Suddenly stiffening, Chris held her breath while her body was exploding in the ecstasy of Dean's arms. Dean pressed solidly against the damp panties and extended the euphoria as long as possible with a touch.
"Oh, God, Dean!"
A harsh whisper escaped as Chris collapsed into Dean's arms.
"Shh, baby. I've got you,"
Dean murmured into the silky blonde hair as she gathered Chris closer.
"I'm here, Chris. I've got you. I love you."
Dean spoke from the heart. She realized the moment after she spoke what she had said. She felt the rightness of the words.
"I love you, sweetheart."
Dean kissed Chris's hair softly. A slight clutch of small fingers squeezed her back. The lovely smile gracing Dean's face spoke volumes as she sighed deeply in her sleep. To be continued.
Well, that concludes episode number 152 of XNU, and that is chapters 5 and 6 of Deepest Ocean Green by J.L. Nikki. And I hope that
satisfies just a tiny bit of the requests for more sex in the show. Because I'm certainly sure that quantifies. If you have any future suggestions for stories, if you could please kindly send me an email with the story and the author's email so that I can contact them for permission for the show, I'd greatly appreciate it. Any suggestions for songs or for if you've got recipes that you'd like to see posted in Traveling Bard Recipe Corner, send them on in to zena.uber@gmail.com. And I'm going to leave you with a parting note that came to me in an email, and it's just something for you to think about. And it says, of the things I've learned, it's one that you can tell a lot about a person by the way he or she handles four things: a rainy day, the elderly, lost luggage, and tangled Christmas tree lights. So that's one for you to think about. So until the next episode, everyone, take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye. To fly.